If I begin by quoting the words 1080, I wonder what most of those of you who are listening to me would think about. I suppose some might muse about 1066 and all that, or even about the Doomsday Book, but then that wasn't completed until 1086, a few months before William the Conqueror died in 1087. So I'll put you all out of your misery and let you know I'm not talking about dates, but I'm talking about a number. If I now mention the name James Strong and the year 1890, there may be some glimmer of enlightenment coming across your faces. It was in 1890 that James Strong's exhaustive concordance of the Bible was first published, and according to Wikipedia, this volume contains 8,674 Hebrew and Aramaic lexical entries and 5,523 Greek lexical entries. But there are only about 5,415 actual entries in the Greek, presumably, according to Wikipedia. More than 100 numbers were jumped over. So, in addition to listing all these words in the concordance, in the lexicon actually completed by each word being given its meaning in the English language. Now, when we come to the number 1080 in the Greek section, we come to the Greek word geneo. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, but you know, G-E-N-N-A-O. So being a real Englishman, I'm going to call it geneo. Now, according to the Strong's Concordance, this has a meaning from to procreate, to bear, to beget, to be born, to bring forth, to conceive, to be delivered of. In other words, geneo covers the whole period of gestation from conception to the actual birth of the child. But some may ask, why is this important? So today, in the time which is available to me, I'm going to give you an answer to that question. This is important because a very large number of people just do not understand that those men who translated the King James Version of the Bible, whilst they translated the majority of the Bible absolutely correctly, there are one or two examples where their translation has been somewhat erroneous. And this actually occurs on the word genoa. And mistranslation leads to misunderstanding as well as to error. Now, as I've already mentioned, the Greek word geneo covers the whole process from conception to actual delivery or the actual birth of the child. Then, with so many people claiming that they take the Bible literally and basing their claims on a word whose translation into the English language does leave something to be desired, we begin to see why we need to have the information which I have today. I'd like you to turn with me to the first epistle of John, chapter 5 and verse 1. At first sight, there does not seem to be anything too much amiss here. What is there? With the interlinear Bible, we see that the word geneo appears three times in this particular passage, and it is given three different meanings in the English language in this passage. So here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, we read the following. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now born there is the 1080, geneo. And everyone that loves him that begat, loves him also that begat. Again, the begat is geneo, and also begotten is geneo. Now, the first time that the Greek word appears there, I say it's get rendered as born, then as begat, then as begotten. Twice the word is translated correctly, but the first time it is erroneous. It is not only the King James Version that is in error here, but the New King James also is in error, as is the Good News Bible, the Living Bible, the New English Bible, and even the Moffat translation. The Revised Standard Version renders this verse as, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is begotten, genoa, of God, and whoever loves him that begat, genoa, loves him also that is begotten of him. Again, begotten is Ganah. The Young's literal translation of the Bible reads as follows. Everyone who is believing that Jesus is the Christ of God believes that he has been begotten. And everyone that who is loving him who did beget doth also love him who is begotten of him. The Young's literal translation is a little bit difficult to read sometimes because it doesn't actually flow in the way you think it is. It takes each word and gives the meaning in the sequence that they appear, so it doesn't always read as easily as one would like it to. The question now arises is, how do we know which translation is the correct one, considering that there are thousands of born-again Christians, not only in the British Isles, but throughout the United States and the British Commonwealth, who insist that the King James Version is correct when it says that those who believe that Jesus is the Christ are actually born again, born of God. If, however, we now drop down just a few verses to chapter 5 and verse 18, we find a somewhat more graphic statement regarding being born again. In this verse, we have another definitive statement that ought to give the lie to the I've been born again Christians. This is a categorical statement that those born of God cannot sin. This is especially true when we remember that the Apostle Paul said in Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In the 1 John chapter 5, verse 18, we read the following. We know that whosoever is born, as Ganeo, of God, sins not, but he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that the wicked one touches him not. Being born of God is far more than saying and believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is, as Paul said in Romans 8 verse 29, the firstborn among many brethren. Again, chapter 7 verse 15, he says, that which I allow not, for that which I do, I would not, but that which I hate, that I do. So, you know, even the Apostle Paul said that even though he was a Christian, he was not completely free from sin. It becomes obvious that believing that Jesus is the Christ simply does not prevent one from sinning. Also, we know that when Jesus appears, that we shall be like him. There is a description of Jesus as he is now, and that's found in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, and we shall see him as he is in his glory, eyes of flames of fire, feet like burnished brass in a furnace. If we are born again now, this is how we will appear. We will look like him, and this is a present hope, but it is a future reality. And to think that we are that way now is just wishful thinking. Taking us a step further and going back to the first epistle of John, chapter 3, and reading verses 1, 2, and 9, we find that further evidence that being born of God, that those being born of God do not sin. Here the statement is repeated in a slightly different form. It's often been said that when something is repeated in Scripture, it is there to emphasize the point and to help it to become more ingrained in the mind. So 1 John chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 9 read as follows. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon them, upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. These verses bear out what has been said in the passage from the first chapter of Revelation, namely, that we shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him, that is Jesus Christ, having a glorified body. Then verse 9 from the King James and Revised Standard Version give two conflicting translations of the word ganeo. The King James Version renders this Greek word as born in both instances, whereas the Revised Standard gives us begotten in both places. So here we read verse 9 from the King James. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. The Revised Standard renders this, whoever is begotten of God does not sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is begotten of God. Young's literal translation goes, everyone who has been begotten of God, sin he does not, because his seed doth in him remain, and he is not able to sin, because of God he has been begotten. Now, perhaps in more modern English, we should say something like, everyone who has been born of God does not sin. And then, because his seed, that is God's seed, remains in him, he is able not to sin, because he has been begotten of God. In closing, I'd like to draw your attention to the Ambassador College Correspondence Course, Lesson 8. And that does actually cover this word, geneo, in some detail, which I cannot go into in a sermonette. And also, there's a booklet which was produced by the Worldwide Church of God many years ago now, called What Do You Mean, Born Again? In these two publications, we find exactly what Mr. Armstrong was inspired to say on this subject, which revolves around the meaning of the Greek word geneo and its translation into the English language. As the Apostle John said so long ago, those born of God do not sin, and we shall see him as he is in his glory, eyes a flame of fire, feet like burnished brass in a furnace. If we are born now, this is what we will look like, because we will look like Jesus Christ. We will look like him as he is now. Revelation chapter 1 says, you know, that Jesus Christ has hair white as snow, eyes of flames of fire, feet of burnished brass as in a furnace. You know, this is what he looks like now in his glorified body. And this is what we would look like if we were actually born of God right now. Translating thoughts and ideas between languages can be very difficult, especially when one word in one language has such a wide meaning as the Greek word geneo, which means everything in the English language from conception to the actual birth. We are not at the birth stage yet. We are in the developmental stage. As an unborn child, growing until we are ready to be born of God, which hopefully is in the very near future, and hopefully we are almost there now. I'd just like to repeat what was said in the Epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, is begotten of God. And everyone that loves him that begat, loves him also that is begotten of him. It's a very subtle change, but it brings a great wealth of difference.